It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Feel good football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is Boomer and Geo ahead of wild card weekend. We find out yesterday officially the game on Monday night moved out of LA and SoFi Stadium out into Arizona. So the home field advantage for the LA Rams is gone in this game, and it certainly isn't fair from a competitive standpoint, but I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about that with what is going on in LA. But I don't know if you've ever had something similar like this happen in your career where, you know, midweek something happened, maybe a big snowstorm or whatever, and you had to relocate. But it can't be an easy thing for the players, first of all, dealing with, you know, their homes might be in jeopardy, the family members might be in jeopardy, and now having to leave there and go somewhere else to play a playoff game that you thought you should be playing at home. Just from a football standpoint, I do like the fact that the game was moved because it didn't seem fair that the Vikings had a 14-3 season and didn't have a home game. So a neutral location makes me feel better about that from a football standpoint. I understand that's the least of what's on people's minds out there in L.A. But what do you think the players are going through with this late change in this game?
I think both the Chargers and the Rams are going to play their asses off for their communities. I mean, you're just tied. You're tied emotionally. Every single player, every single person in those organizations knows somebody who has been just absolutely devastated. They all know it, and they know their community. They can feel it in their communities, much like we felt it here on 9/11. You know, all the sports teams here, that's how we all got back together. That's how we all came together. That's how we all became probably at that point in time since World War II, the most patriotic we had ever been. You know, because there was a lot of strife in between World War II and 9/11. There was a lot of discord on the streets about what we were doing, where we were, and how we treated our soldiers when they came home, like, say, from Vietnam. So I would say that the players galvanize this. They also know that in some small way that maybe their effort in a big football game can take people away from what they're dealing with on the ground, assuming that everything is safe and secure. So I don't know. I feel like the players will be inspired to play well for both teams.
And what about the not having a home game and then moving this game to a neutral location?
Yeah.
I mean, the Vikings were going on the road anyway, and now they don't have to travel, I guess, as far. It's pretty close. But
and quite frankly, I don't know. I really don't know how many Rams fans are going to be going to this game. I mean, that's the other sad aspect of this from a football game standpoint is that, I mean, God, you lost everything. You know, how many of those people that have basically had their lives completely turned upside down, like the people in North Carolina, like the people in Florida with dealing with the hurricanes, how did these
people... It's not going to be people from L.A. I would think a very few would be traveling.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the NFL will be giving away tickets to locals. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I think they had to make a decision quickly because I was telling you, there's probably a number of people that now have to change all of their plans that were leaving, say, Minneapolis to go see this game. And I'm sure there were travel agencies putting trips together.
Oh, yeah.
You know how that goes with Martucci and everybody around here.
Sure.
Blue Travel and Brandon and everybody else. So they all have to now readjust. So I think the NFL obviously did it as quickly as they possibly could. But, you know, I totally felt like yesterday that it was coming and that they should have made this decision.
Speaking of Brandon, well, one second, because I'm going to get to a Brandon thing, but tickets go on sale for Rams season ticket holders first at 10 a.m. today, then at some point later, everybody else. So that's a fair thing to do, since they did have a home game by winning their division. So there was a guy, Al, if you could go through your mentions from yesterday, that it was a Brandon clip, so you should be able to find it relatively quickly. Tag me in it, you in it, and he's talking about quarterbacks, and I just wanted to see if you got it already. All right, I want to see if you agree with some of the terminology that is being used here, okay?
It's only 6 seconds.
Yeah, so really lock
in. 6 seconds of terminology?
Yeah, 6 seconds.
All right, hold on. Let me buckle up here because I'm sure there's probably about five or six different adjectives he's going to use.
You got to be able to let it rip through the winds, and you got to spin it.
Yeah.
And this kid can fling it.
All right, rip it, spin it, and fling it.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of like when Mike said window thrower back in the day.
Yeah.
And I came in here that next morning and I said, I heard Mike describe Philip Rivers as a window thrower. And you remember how that just absolutely took off?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I gave Mike credit for that. I was making a little fun because I thought,
no.
But I think it accurately described exactly what, I understood exactly what he was talking about.
So rip it, spin it, and fling it. Which one of those, do you like them all, one or two of them?
I like the rip it and spin it.
Rip it and spin it, you don't like flinging it?
I don't like the fling it because I think when you're flinging it, you're not being careful, you're not being judicious, you're not being a great decision maker. Now, who was he talking about?
I think Drew Aller.
Okay, well, it's that doesn't, unfortunately, work very well right now.
Not this morning.
But I think he was talking about how this kid
has a strong arm and can rip it through the winds.
And he could spin it.
And he could spin it. Well, that's one of Brandon's favorite things about the spinning it. He said Timmy Boyle can spin it. That was one of my favorite ones ever. He's like, hey, don't sleep on Timmy Boyle. He can spin it. Do you ever use that, spin it? Like, this guy can spin it?
I mean, not...
Like you and
not,
Phil, no. When you're talking about Joe Milton the other day.
No.
You're like, this guy, man, this Joe Milton, he can spin it.
No, we don't.
He can rip it?
He can rip it. We'll say rip it.
You will say rip it.
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good.
But I don't ever remember. I'm sure that we probably have used that vernacular in some case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, I understand what he's trying to say, but he used three quick descriptions.
Rip it, spin it, fling it.
Yep.
Indeed. It's funny because I was listening to them on the way home and I heard that and I made a note of it and then someone sent us the video. A little bit later in the day. So our audience is, I mean, they are right there. All right, so let's say you go to a pro day and you see a guy just, like, he's got a howitzer for an arm. And he's
ripping and slinging it and flinging it or whatever.
Yeah, no, but what would you say in that spot?
I say...
He lets it go bang.
Well, Phil uses it all the time. He throws with such power.
Ooh, okay.
Right? He throws with power.
Throws with power.
That's what Phil says.
Okay. What do you say?
I just say his arm strength is obvious.
All right.
I try to stay away from the vernacular of the scout. I let people like Lewis Riddick do that. And Phil likes to do that because he works with young quarterbacks and he's all about and all these this whole quarterback guru thing that goes on behind the scenes for all these high school kids and college kids.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's brother does this.
Yep.
You know, they use that vernacular.
I'm going to give you a couple that you hear all the time. He can make all the throws.
Yep, got that one.
And I got another one for you.
Give me another one.
Big-time arm talent.
Big-time arm talent, yes. Arm talent, that's a good one.
Arm talent. Those are two that just pop in my head that people say. Oh, the arm talent on this guy. Like, I don't know how many times I had to hear arm talent with Zach Wilson. God, well, but his arm talent.
Yes.
Okay.
He has arm talent.
You know, I wonder, the way that Bo Nix, I know he played more college games than Zach Wilson did. Yeah. But I wonder if Sean Payton got a hold of Zach Wilson in his rookie season in Denver, because he's on the roster there now, would he have put together a season like Bo Nix?
What do you think, let me ask you this, what do you think Zach Wilson has learned this year that maybe Sam Darnold learned last year?
Oh, yeah, I mean, a ton, but I'm... And he's already gone through the meat grinder, as you like to say, in the NFL, Zach Wilson. You know, he's a third-string quarterback at this point, the whole thing. But I know it's a total hypothetical, we'll never know. But it's curious to me, you know, the way Bo Nix has played this year and that very good defense that they have out there in Denver and the offensive guru that Sean Payton is, Zach Wilson coming into the league as unprepared as he seemed to be with the Jets and then surrounded by a defensive head coach, a first-time offensive coordinator, the tragedy of Greg Knapp that happened that year. They had to bring in his old quarterback coach from BYU. Like, if Sean Payton had that guy, you know, in his infancy, in his prenatal stage, would he have morphed him into a playoff quarterback in his first year?
I always tell you about the environment that the quarterback is drafted into. Fortunately, again, I go back to myself, I had Sam Weish and Bruce Coslett. Both offensive guys, both, you know, thinking outside the box, doing different things that no team had ever done before. And I was very fortunate to be in that environment and to have guys like Turk Schonert and Kenny Anderson as the older players in the room. And believe you me, I learned a million things from those guys. And, you know, that's why the environment worked for me. Sometimes you get thrusted into an environment that doesn't work for a particular player, especially one coming out of college, and that's why they don't make it. A lot of it is still on them, but it also is on the team to put them in the right situation. Like, Daniel Jones has had success. It's not the success and consistent success that everybody would have loved for him to have had or expected for him to have, especially where he was drafted. But he had success. But he was drafted to a team that couldn't make a decision as to who the hell the head coach and GM were going to be to lead the team. So I don't think that his success, or I think his success, was somewhat inhibited by the lack of consistency.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen that plenty of times.
You could see that he can play.
Yeah.
The question is, can they play 17 games? Can you stand in there? Can you make the right decisions at the biggest moments? Can you absorb the hits? Can you absorb the social media negativity? Can you absorb the expectations, not only from yourself, but from your fan base, your owner, your teammates? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it that, unfortunately, some guys just don't understand that they can't handle it until they're thrusted into that position.
Let's go to Rick, who's in Middletown. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, so I was watching the game last night, the Notre Dame, Penn State game. It was an awesome game. I fell asleep, and I woke up this morning, and I didn't watch the whole game. So I asked Alexa, you know, that device that...
Of course.
That,
yeah, well, everybody knows what Alexa is. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so anyway, so I asked Alexa, I said, Alexa, who won the game last night? So I was shocked. They said that Penn State won the game last night. They got it wrong. I'm like, what? Because I called my girlfriend. I said, hey.
My bad.
Penn State won. And they said, no, they didn't. Notre Dame won. So I'm like, I asked it again, and I'm like, holy crap. So I just want to give you some sports news that the Alexa app, the Alexa device is wrong.
Well, your Alexa app or device is wrong. I don't know if everybody else's is. And I think
did you check that score, Al? You did. So Al does this routine every morning. He gets up and he asks Alexa who won the big game the night before. And I'm guessing you didn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't for college. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know.
Do you have to be specific when you're asking the question? I would think you can't just be like a mundane question. Who won the game last night?
No. It depends, and I'll think also through, like, is there another Cardinals? So I'll say like St. Louis Cardinals or. Yeah, sometimes you
try to be a little bit more specific.
I try to be.
I don't use Alexa, so I don't know.
Yeah, I try to be, but she's always been right for me.
You think that Alexa that guy has Jerry's voice attached to it?
I mean, maybe Penn State won a volleyball game last night.
Yes,
he may
exactly,
not have been specific.
Well, they were talking about the previous week's game that they won somehow.
Right.
They got that. So, interesting, I guess.
Just Google it.
Yeah, I know. Now he's never going to trust Alexa. Now he's going to have to go to, like, trade that in for Siri or Grok or something else.
I wouldn't trust Alexa.
No?
No.
Amazon is Alexa? Is that what that is?
Yes.
I think Bezos is getting in your stuff? Listening
probably
to your conversations?
In your house, he's listening to everything you got going on. Not him specifically, but the company, of course.
Yeah. Saying, what can we do to influence you to buy more stuff?
Same thing with your phone.
Yeah, we're going to take your information and sell it to China. You think this is just an innocent cylinder that tells you sports scores? We're climbing into your life,
mm-hmm.
Getting your social security number, your bank account information. We will steal your identity and ship it to China. Alexa.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back in here with us. Got another update. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning. We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. So this ongoing saga battle, whatever you want to call it, between Jason Whitlock and Joy Taylor continued. Yesterday, Cam Newton getting involved. So.
And Joy Taylor has not responded in any way to this lawsuit. Just her and Skip Bayless and Emmanuel Acho are in the lawsuit, Charlie Dixon, and everybody's reacted to it, but nobody from Fox has commented on
it. Well, they're being told not to say a word. Don't say anything. That's what their lawyers are telling them, so they're going to have to deal with all the slings and arrows out there right now.
Now, obviously, we played the clips the other day about the skin and the rack and the cans. And
that's
all
right. Big old cans, peanut butter skin.
Yeah. There was more, but I'm not sure when Jason Whitlock said it. So I'm going to start with the Cam Newton response to that stuff. Here he was yesterday reacting to the Whitlock comments.
Hey, Jason Whitlock. Hey, my guy. No, you're not my guy. Guy, come here. You're not that guy, pal. You're not. That big rack of hers, that's inappropriate. That butter skin, that's inappropriate. Like, bro, you're not that guy. So to comment on something like this, bro, stay in your lane.
And then he would continue.
Whether Joy did what she did, the accusations are true or not, stay in your lane, Jason. All right? Because, bro, like, you're having an outer body experience, and it's time for me to put you back in your body to let you know, bro, you're not that guy, pal.
All right, so we're all set up for
not that guy, pal. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, this is Jason. If any lane is Jason Whitlock's lane, this is it, because he worked at Fox. He does this controversial talk show. This is his lane. His lane was created for this particular story. You know whose lane it's not is Cam Newton's.
Because Cam Newton's life wasn't affected by this whole thing the way that Jason Whitlock perceives it affected his life.
Right. Well, here is where Cam now really goes after him.
Let's put it like this, since we want to get personal. Like, who you who you sleeping with?
What she look like?
Like, bring her to the forefront. Yeah. Him to the forefront. Because now he's got to be open.
Yeah, he's got her.
You know what I'm saying? And it ain't no shade, but I'm just keeping it above. Yeah. This is a person who's, bro, like, been a villain in the industry for years. So I'm like, bro, we want to see her. Don't say no inappropriate things like that and not be questioned about that.
I mean, the hypocrisy there is amazing, because he says all of that stuff is inappropriate and then just goes down to that level to say maybe something even worse than that.
Yes.
So it's like, if you're going to say it's inappropriate and bad, say that and then just move on from it. Don't go, well, who are you banging? You know, like after that.
Well, by the way, Jason Whitlock didn't bring any of this up. This is out of a lawsuit that a makeup artist brought up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, Cam should be talking about the makeup artist or talk about what's going on at Fox, not Jason Whitlock's reaction to it. He's acting as if Jason Whitlock has put all this stuff out there prior to the lawsuit exposing all of this or alleging all of this.
That's right. I think some of the stuff has gotten so personal, though, would be my guess, which is why he decided to say something.
Yeah, well, you know, Jason in the black community, a very controversial figure on his takes on things. And we all know that. And we all know when you turn him on, there's going to be brutal honesty from his eyes coming out of his mouth. That's who he is. That's who he's always been. And he did not bring any of this up. He is reacting to what has been brought up.
And he worked there and had experience.
And he believes, from what I hear coming out of his mouth, he believes that he was adversely affected by the relationship between Joy Taylor and, what's it, Rick Dixon?
Charlie Dixon.
Charlie Dixon, I'm sorry.
Right, and like it or not, a story like this comes out, Jason Whitlock at this point in his career, he has got to milk every bit of this. That's what he has to do. It's entertainment. We haven't talked about this guy like this, I think, ever. He had that little bit of a Stephen A. Smith back and forth, but we have been talking about Jason Whitlock. Like, he's using this story to further his career like he should be doing if he's in the entertainment business. And he may not like that fact, but it's a fact.
Well, there's a lot within the black community, there are a lot of people that don't like his takes. That's the point. So now it's all pile on Jason Whitlock, when in fact he wasn't the one that filed the lawsuit. He's the one that's reacting to the lawsuit because, again, I say this, he feels like his career was sidelined because of this, Joy Taylor.
Now here's Whitlock reacting to Cam Newton reacting to him.
I want to, best I can, play somewhat nice with you, Cam, because I feel sorry for you, and not in a condescending or I'm trying to degrade you, but when you're born with as much physical skill and talent as a Cam Newton, it diminishes your intellectual evolution.
That says,
imagine if I said that to you.
You see this Eric LeGrand coffee cup?
Yeah, really.
Where would it end up?
The last day I saw this earth.
All right, so then here's the last one from Whitlock that I have. It says, must be nice to be physically gifted as you are.
If I was 6'5" and easily as muscled up as Cam Newton and could do all the different things he could do as an athlete, why would I develop intellectually when the world has so much to offer me for developing physically? And again, part of that, particularly when you're black, is the system is rigged so that you're worth more as an idiot.
God. I mean, this guy, wow. I mean, but he is, yeah. He's a very bright guy, man. I'm telling you, he's a bright guy. He's got sharp takes.
What a takedown.
He knows how to use language. He knows how to say what he wants to say, and you can hear it.
I just love the fact that his thesis statement is, it's not your fault that you're an idiot, which is unbelievable, which is like twisting Cam Newton's brain into a pretzel, probably.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
And I could sit there and gut it up for hours. I mean, there's so much stuff.
That's the gist right
and,
there.
Yeah, so that's the gist. We'll see if there's a reaction today from Cam. Who knows? Notre Dame beat Penn State at the Orange Bowl. The big part of it was the interception that led to the go-ahead late field goal.
Mitch Jeter lines it up. He's ready. The Orange Bowl is on Mitch Jeter's leg. Good snap. Good hold. Kick on its way, and the kick is good!
Yes!
Mitch Jeter, with 7 seconds left, gives the Irish a lead!
And that was Notre Dame Radio with the call. Put them up by three. They would win by three, 27-24. Here was Marcus Freeman, their head coach. Says, we did a great job after that interception that put us in position.
They executed it flawlessly. Nobody panicked. It was great communication. Riley kept everybody under control, and we knew we were in range where Mitch could make that field goal.
And he did.
Yeah, I saw a couple of things about Marcus Freeman possibly being interviewed for pro jobs and everything else. The way that those kids reacted when he was named head coach there after Chip Kelly, Brian Kelly left. If I were him and I were Notre Dame, I would just keep him there. He is a recruiting animal. He could be there and be one of the legendary coaches. He's already had a legendary career. And given that the fact that they lost to Northern Illinois and have come all the way back and now are on the precipice of a national championship, which I don't think they're going to win no matter who they play. But, I mean, he is Notre Dame personified. So much more than any other coach that they've had in the last 20 years.
I mean, he got him in the national championship game.
Says all the right things. The players absolutely love and adore him. I'm sure they have a big nil budget, but going to Notre Dame, playing for that coach, if I were him, sign a 10-year deal and stay there.
And Drew Aller, 12 of 23 in the loss, 135 yards in that big interception. How he evaluates the game?
We didn't win the game, so it wasn't good enough. I mean, I think it's plain and simple. So I'll learn from it. Just do everything in my power to get better from it and just grow from it.
And it was Christian Gray that picked him off with 33 seconds to go. So
that kid's got to stay in college. He's got to go back for another year at Penn State. Get this out of your system and see if you can lead Penn State back to the college football playoff and have a great, great final season.
All right, moving on to the NFL. Obviously, the big story is the league moving Monday night's game, Vikings-Rams from L.A. to Arizona because of the wildfires. Here's Sean McVay yesterday with the media.
Obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody that's been affected by, you know, these fires. It's one of those deals that almost doesn't feel real, but it certainly is real to the people that are affected. And, you know, praying, you know, that as many people are okay, and you know, you just see the amount of people that are affected, and it's, you know, it's one of those deals that, you know, it gives you perspective.
And then he would go on and talk about, you know,
I wonder when the last Google Maps image was taken. I don't know if they continue to do
there's
that.
There's been a lot of that on TikTok.
Yeah,
and
there's
Instagram.
A lot of before and after.
Yeah, so you can you could at least see at least whatever is there. You can see what was there previously, and I would think that you would be able to figure out exactly what it would cost to rebuild. Now, I've also read stories where, you know, there's tragedy like this, there's opportunity. And there are people going in there, and they're offering people money for their property. I wouldn't take anything, depending what the personal situation is for each family. I wouldn't trust anybody or take anything, because the one thing I do know, and we've seen it here with 9/11, when you go down to the memorial here, you see what they built and you see just how amazing all of this is. And that was born out of a major tragedy. So you know that eventually, somewhere along the line, within the next 10 years, this will all be rebuilt in some way, shape, or form. And maybe the people there who realize what the reasons and the causes for this were will change some of their political stances and come up with policies that make sense so both animal and people can live together. So I would say don't sell anything, because in 10 years from now, whatever house that was on that ocean side that was probably worth $8 million today is probably going to be worth $25 million 10 years from now.
Chargers will be in Houston tomorrow, so they get out of Los Angeles, and it's a road game that was scheduled. You got the Ravens and Steelers tomorrow night. Here's TJ Watt. Not many playoff wins for him. None, I don't think, actually. He wants a ring, wants one in the worst way.
There's a big difference between guys that come back that are Super Bowl champions and guys that aren't. And that's not a slight at the guys that aren't. I'm one of those guys right now. But there's definitely an aura and a sense to a guy that has won a Super Bowl.
And they do have one in Russell Wilson. He will be their starting quarterback. And you know, he says, can't win four in a row without number one.
We're not just looking for one playoff win, but the only one you can get is this one right now. And so I think the focus for us is just getting ready to go, enjoying the process of this. You know, playing the playoffs is such a special thing.
Now, you worked in Pittsburgh. You think they like him there? I don't mean the fans. I mean the players.
No.
Oh, I don't. Okay.
I don't think anybody has ever liked playing with Russell Wilson.
All right.
I think even at the height of his talents and winning, he's not someone who you could just easily get along with, especially when he got his money and became a celebrity. Everything you heard from that defense out in Seattle, they hated him just because he wasn't one of the guys. I think it's a tough personality for a football locker room. I think people think he's phony. That's what I think.
Broncos, Bills Sunday, Packers, Eagles, Commanders, and Bucks. The Raiders fire GM Tom Telesco, Pete Carroll to interview with Vegas, as will Rob Saleh. NBA tonight, Knicks and Thunder. You got the Nets in Denver on the Fan at 8:50. Cavaliers did win again, beat the Raptors 132-126 to make it 12 straight. Lakers and Hornets postponed because of the wildfires in Los Angeles. College basketball, number 20, Purdue beat Rutgers 68-50. Hofstra lost to Charleston 67-61. Meantime, the Rangers with a good win over the Devils. They did it in overtime, but before they could get there.
Fox to Panarin and Sabanajet. Same Markstrom. Rebound score! Artemi Panarin. It's a power play.
You know why this works? Because Adam Fox.
Yeah.
The reason it works because Adam Fox is at the top of the crease, or you know, at the top of the circles, and he's moving around because he can do that. He can control the puck and he can get the puck to the net. He had a goal earlier in the game, same way. You got to get the puck through the net. That's what they're paying him $9.5 million for on offense. And he's got to be, he's been better the last few games. He's got to continue to improve his game and be more assertive, especially when they're on the power play.
Sam Carrick with the game-winning goal in the overtime as the Rangers win it 3-2, and the Islanders blank the Golden Knights 4-0, if you haven't heard.
And also CeeLo's cyst at the top of the crease as well, as we have learned this week. That's CeeLo. Exactly where that was. So I guess the NFL's trying to have its London fans hate NFL football because they are sending the Jets, the Browns, and the Jaguars back there for next year. So that is official. Adam Schefter,
and 2025. And that will be a Jet home game,
by the way. It'll be a Jet home game. Yeah. So the Jets in London playing a regular season game 2025. They're going back. And obviously,
who are they playing next year on the NFC side of their schedule?
I don't know. I had an idea, but I'm not sure.
Because it'll be most likely one of those NFC teams, I think.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday. So I'm just, of course, scrolling through social media in the break, and I come across this video. You know, our pal, part of the Boomer and Geo universe, Peter Schwartz, has a show that he used to do from MacArthur Airport next to the baggage claim, which was, I thought, a perfect spot for his show, Sports Bash, with Vinny Tickets. Well, Vinny Tickets decided he's going to focus more on
his business and let Peter do the Sports Bash show, and then moved to Governor's Comedy Club Sports Bash. So now he's got a new studio there, Governor's Comedy Club on Long Island. So one of these videos of Peter interviewing somebody on Sports Bash comes up, and I go, wait a second. I know that guy that he's interviewing. That's a friend of mine. And I said, I wonder why he had this guy on. And then I thought to myself, of course, Peter Schwartz, a man who can find a way to get free stuff like no other man who has ever walked the earth. Who was he interviewing on his Sports Bash show, giving him a guest spot? None other than Sean Winters, who has 20 regular season tickets that are in the front row behind the Jets bench and is very, very generous with those tickets. He has brought me, he has brought Eddie, he has brought Joe Beningo. He has offered you, obviously, now with no NFL today. And he does it all out of the goodness of his heart. He provides food and drink and transportation and tickets. You go on the field afterwards. It's an amazing experience. And here is Peter Schwartz interviewing Sean Winters on his Sports Bash show so he can be invited to a game via the Winter Brothers bus next year. Amazing. And I respect it. It's I really do. There is a twins of genius in that Schwartz brain, I tell you.
Yeah, you know what this is? But this what this is, it's a leech spot of all time.
It is, without a doubt.
It's almost as bad as Sal with John Ledecky. But, you know, Sal is like nuzzled up to the owner of the Islanders.
True.
This is Sean Winters, who is a lifelong Jets fan, very wealthy man. And now Peter Schwartz is interviewing him.
He's interviewing Sean Winters. And then really the only reason he interviewed Sean Winters is to talk Jets.
Yeah.
And then be a part of one of his tailgates next year.
Okay, so I'm just saying, like, nobody can do leech spots better than the people that we work with, that are our colleagues.
I mean, and this is a leech spot, like you said, like none other. Now, I can make a case, it is the worst leech spot of all time, because with the Islanders, there is a benefit in the relationship between Sal Licata and the Islanders. There is. The Islanders like to be talked about. They like to be talked about in a positive way. Hey, the Islanders took care of us. What a great organization. You got a couple Ranger fans there on the midday show talking how great the Islanders are on WFAN, big radio station.
Yeah, I know what John Ledecky's trying to do.
There's a benefit. In this situation, Sean Winters gets nothing out of going on Sports Bash with Peter Schwartz. This is a straight up, I'm going to put you on. I'm going to introduce this relationship so I can have all the Schwartzes sitting in the front row at a Jet game in 2025. You know it. I know it. And I can't really knock it.
Yeah.
I can't knock it.
Well, it sounds like you are knocking it.
No. It's a leech spot of all time.
Okay.
That is, if you want to tell me that is a knock, then that is a knock. But the fact that he went to the lengths of inviting Sean on as a guest.
That's not my fault.
On his program, just
to
develop that relationship. Because he's heard many times, like, oh, I've gone to the Jet game. Eddie's gone to the Jet game. You know, you have...
you know what else Sean Winters has?
Beningo going to the Jet games.
You know what else Sean Winters has? He got the suite at UBS.
Oh, that's... But does Peter know that now?
Oh, Peter knows that. He has to know that.
I remember the last time we went to UBS and got invited by Ledecky, and I was talking to one of the Islanders employees, and that person told me that Peter had texted him and said, by the way, just so you know, I was not invited to the box. And the guy said, okay, you know, sorry to hear that. Hope to see you next time. Hoping that guy would say, oh, well, why don't you come on in?
Yeah.
I mean, it is just, but he does it, and like, I'm onto it now. I know, like, Sean's probably not onto it, but if he is, whatever. But like the time that he walked in here and talked about how he was going to the Hall of Fame game when Revis was getting inducted and Klecko, and goes, man, it is impossible to get tickets to that Hall of Fame game.
There's boom. What do you need to do? What do you need? Four? All right. Here we go. Yeah, 50-yard line. Okay. Which I was more than happy to do. I actually, Peter always supported my Empire Challenge All-Star Game, was always there. He and his family always showed up. And that I admired and appreciated that local support, which was so important to that game, you know? So I kind of feel like, you know, I like doing things for Peter.
Like Peter's final dismount at some point before he passes away will be like on Jeff Bezos's yacht, you know? Like that, he'll somehow weasel his way.
Laying there with Lauren Sanchez.
Yeah, like that'll be the last one. That'll be the ending to his story, that he got on a billionaire's yacht. He's going to be out in the Amalfi Coast or San Tropez sunning himself. 300-foot yacht. Going, man, you know, he just somehow ran into somebody somewhere.
You never know. He might get him on Sports Bash, too.
If Jeff Bezos ever went on Sports Bash, that would be unbelievable. Anyway, hey, hats off to Peter. He knows what he's doing.
You know what that reminds me of, Sports Bash? You know, Fanatics is doing their Fan Fest again.
Yes, they are. And yeah. June. Yep.
It's that's how big of a success it was last year.
Absolutely. So excited for that coming up. June sounds pretty good right about now.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it?